When you're building a business, you're going to hire slow. You're going to find the right people. You're going to interview them multiple times. Same thing. This is a business. When you're investing in real estate, it's a business. What you want to do is find the right people, hire them slowly. If they're a problem, fire them fast. But what you want to do is build the business first.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dustin Heiner is the founder and host of Master Passive Income, a blog and podcast about investing in real estate rental properties. It's his desire to help you succeed by investing in real estate rental properties, and Master Passive Income is committed to helping you do that. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. I really am excited to be here to talk to you all about investing and just everything in general. So I really appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely, man. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, quickly, can you tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
So where I started, so I've always been entrepreneurial in general. I love, starting businesses, and I love running businesses, but I also worked a job. I was always told to work a job. Right. Fast forward to where I am now, which I'll quickly go back into that, but I want to pause that. Now I quit my job when I was 37 years old. I'm retired. I have plenty of rental properties. Now I have online businesses. I have my rental properties, 30 plus properties that literally I don't work at all on those businesses. In fact, I work 30 minutes, not a day or a week or a month. I just 30 minutes a month on all my properties. And I literally just make money coming in. So where I started from, though, that was like where I'm at now. I literally don't do anything. It's just fun. I get to hang out with great guys like you and interview on podcasts. But before that, so I had bought one property and I was always entrepreneurial, but I was always told to work a job and climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. And so I was working for the county government in California. In Fresno County, I was working for the government, 10, 12, 15 years there, plenty of seniority. Everything's going really well. And I have four kids and my wife just had our fourth child. And I went on paternity leave. That's where the dad stays home with the mom, helps with the baby and bonds with the baby and all that sort of stuff. And so I come back from paternity leave. I was off for maybe a week or two. I come back and then on a Friday at about 3:30 in the afternoon, I get a phone call from my boss's secretary, like the top dog, says, "Dustin, would you please come to the boss's office?" And I said, "Sure." And I hang up the phone and I pause for a second. I thought, why would they be calling me to the office? Like, this isn't normal. Like, this is weird, but okay, let me think about this for a second. I remembered before I went on paternity leave, about a month or two prior, there had been some rumors or some rumblings about possible layoffs, like a lot of money, like they don't have enough money in the department. And I said, no, that can't be me. I have so much seniority. I literally should be fine. I do a great job. I always get raises. So I get up and I start walking down the hall toward my boss's office. And it's not a very long hall, but it feels like it gets longer and longer. Because I started thinking about, oh my goodness, could this be the time I actually lose my job? And every single step felt like it was a lead brick, like getting heavier and heavier and heavier every single step. Well, as I get there, I round the corner and I get to my boss's office and his door is closed, but the secretary is standing there looking at me. And she says, "Dustin," and sheepishly, she says, "would you please have a seat?" And she's consoling with her eyes. I go and sit down and she's looking at me and she knows everything that's going on. I know nothing of what's going on. And I'm sitting there in this chair. This is so unnormal and so not normal. And so I started thinking about myself, like, oh my goodness, I've worked here 12, 15 years now. Like, is this all going to be literally taken away from me? And started thinking about, oh my goodness, am I a failure as a husband? Am I a failure as a father, as a provider for my family? So my hands get all clammy, my forehead gets all sweaty, and then the door opens up to my boss's office and out walks a lady with a piece of paper in her hand, and she's noticeably distraught. She noticeably, like, her world's been rocked. She's not necessarily crying, but it's just all changed for her. And she leaves, and then my boss brings me into his office, and he hands me a piece of paper, and I actually get laid off. Remember, this is the government. Like, nobody gets fired or laid off from the government, but I did. And so I walk back to my desk and I sit down for a second. I think of two things that I must do. Like, if I'm going to do anything, it's these two things. Number one, I need to get another job to be able to afford the roof over our heads and food for our family, our four kids. And the second thing I realized, I need to make sure that this never, ever happens to me again, where somebody has the ability to literally destroy my entire life and take a rug out from under me and literally not be able to provide for my family. So the first thing, I was really, really blessed. I was able to work at the county sheriff's office. They had a position transferred over there, worked out fantastically. Didn't actually get laid off. I got the layoff notice, but didn't get laid off. So that worked out great. Praise the Lord for that. Then I started telling myself, okay, whenever anybody is going to ask you or me, say, what do you do? Basically, they're asking you, if they ever ask you that question, what value do you put on yourself? And I used to answer, I work for the IT department in the local county office, and no longer would I ever say that ever again. I would now tell everybody, I am an investor. I invest in real estate. It may so happen that 100% of my money comes from my part-time job, but it's my part-time job. I am an investor. My business, my life, everything. I get my value from my God, my family, and myself. And so I'm an investor. And so from there, got a new job, bought rental property after rental property after rental property. We had 30 plus properties. And I realized I'm making $75,000 year working here, but I realized that I'm losing money working here. So I'll round up the story to say, after about another probably about 5 years total, I had enough properties where I didn't need to work anymore. So I went to my boss's office, the new boss, and said, boss, I'm done. I don't need to work here anymore. And so I quit. And I'll tell you this. If you remember that walk that I took down to my first boss's office, where I actually got laid off, my feet felt like lead bricks. The second walk, this walk that I, after I quit, and I said, you know, I'm retiring at 37 years old. I actually walk to my car. It's about a mile walk to my car because I'm in downtown. I'm pretty frugal, so I didn't want to pay for parking, but I'm walking. I've done it literally 1,000 times. And I feel like I'm walking on clouds because I realize I will never, ever work a job again. And what everybody needs to hear as they're listening to this is their value is your value. If you're listening to this, is so much more than anybody could ever pay you because your boss is only paying you enough to keep you working without quitting, but not so much as taking money out of their pocket. So whatever value that you have in yourself, realize that it's so much more. So you need to go after what, if it's investing, if it's starting a business, whatever it might be, take that as a catalyst to say, you know what? My value is now what I put on myself. And so roundabout now, like I said, I'm 30. Well, when I quit my job when I was 37 years old, that's about 5 years ago, travel the world. Now I have, you know, 4 kids. I literally just go to the gym and hang out with great people like you, Sam.
That's awesome, man. I love that. You know, you've achieved the time and money freedom. Those are the two things I think, you know, that people are, you know, consistently looking for. Money typically comes to the front of people's mind, you know, when they hear of success or think of success. But I think way more valuable than money is getting your time back. So, you know, you being able to decide what you're going to do today is a huge, you know, that's a huge win. So kudos to you for getting that done. I'm really curious, what were the steps you took? Maybe you said this and I just missed it, but what were the steps between, okay, I got laid off, and then when did you start buying enough real estate such that you could then quit your second job? And how did you do that phase?
So it really comes down to, from the very beginning, I've always been entrepreneurial. I love business and I love everything about business, but I also love real estate. Let me take that back. I love what real estate affords me to do, like literally not ever work. Like I said, I work 30 minutes a month. It's just fantastic. But here's the steps that I basically took. And if I were to tell anybody, like my kids, okay, if you're going to do it this way. So I'm going to walk you through the process. Number one, I said, since I'm a businessman, I said, I need to build the business. A lot of people, if they're going to coach you on how to invest in real estate, they're going to say, your property, you buy one property and that's your business. That's wrong, in my opinion. That's actually backwards. What they'll tell you is you find a property, you run the numbers, make sure you can buy it, make sure you can find somebody to fix it up, then find somebody to manage it, then find somebody to rent it out. Well, it's almost backwards. In fact, you're literally doing it wrong. In fact, it's sad, but I love buying properties off of people who've done it wrong. And when they do it wrong, they just are fed up. They want to get rid of the property. Well, what I did was I said, you know what? I'm going to build the business first. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. When you're building a business, if you're going to start a convenience store, you're not going to just get a lease, open the doors, put a box of candy bars in there and hope to run a business. That's not going to work. What you're going to do is you're going to get the storage units, the shelving units. They're called gondolas. You're going to get countertops, cold storage. You're going to get bank accounts, registers, employees, everything before you buy any inventory. And so when you're done building the business, you buy your inventory. Same thing with real estate investing. What I did was I built the business. I found all the property managers, the contractors, the realtors, the inspectors, wholesalers. Like I found everybody in my business first before I bought any property. And I even, taking a quick step back, I found a whole brand new area of the country to invest. And because of this, I was in California when I started investing. I bought in Ohio, of all places. And I realized I'm not the expert. I need to hire experts in the area to do this business for me. I need to rely on them, their information, their wisdom, and check everybody with everybody's information that they give me. And then I build the business. So just like your convenience store, you're going to build the entire business And then you're going to put the inventory into your business. Same exact thing. What I did was I built the entire business. And then every piece of property that I bought, that's not my business. No, that's a piece of inventory that I put into my business. And that's the key to me scaling my business so that I can buy property after property after property so that I have more and more money coming in because the business is already there. It's already running. All I need is another property to put into that business and keep scaling that business. And I'll round it out to say, what I realized was I need to make $250 a month or more from every single property. Now, if it's a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, it kind of adjusts just a little bit. But let's just say with single family homes, $250 a month in passive income from every single property. Then if I bought 10 properties, that's $2,500 a month. That's $30,000 a year. If I had 20 properties, that's $5,000 a month in passive income. That is $60,000 a year. I could literally quit my job. And so that was my thought. I just kept buying property after property, saved money from every single one of those properties to buy the next property, save that money to buy the next property, recycle my money by refinancing, home equity line of credit. I even use a credit card, which is an advanced strategy. So don't immediately do that. But I literally bought a house with credit cards. So I've done that. Now I literally have 30 plus properties. I want to say I have maybe three or four mortgages. The other ones are free and clear where I'm literally just making passive income. But I scaled my business because I saw in the future, if I have delayed gratification, I buy a house now, roll that money into another one, buy another one, roll that money into another one, just keep doing it, then I'll eventually have enough properties where I literally don't need to work. And like I said, I quit my job. I was making $75,000, $80,000 a year, but I realized I'm losing money here. If I could spend my time on the things that I'm good at, investing, building businesses, I'm going to make so much money than I ever thought I could at a company. And I'm so glad that I did because that makes a lot more money from all my real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it sounds like you've been able to take that time and that money that you have now generate, you know, passive income and roll that into some other things. So talk to us a little bit about why you didn't just keep scaling real estate and saw some opportunities elsewhere and have moved on those.
So I love real estate. Real estate is fantastic because like I said, I literally don't do anything. I'll also say this, I don't pay my taxes. I don't pay my insurance. I don't pay my property manager. I don't even pay to repair the property. My tenants pay for every bit of that. And I account for all those expenses before I buy the property. And so because of that, I also have somebody working in my business that's overseeing everything, my property manager, and that's expense already accounted for. And because I have people, all this expense is already accounted for, they're running the business for me. So it frees up my time where I literally don't have to do anything in the business. And then from there, I realized, you know what? I have so much free time that I literally don't work. I don't have a job. And I had so many friends. What happened was, as I was quitting my job, I had about a year before I was going to quit. I was telling people, oh, I'm going to quit my job next year. Friends and family members would ask me, well, Dustin, how in the world are you quitting your job? That's the first question. And so I tell them I invest in real estate and I get rental properties. The second question is almost like clockwork. It'll always come is, well, can you show me how to do that? And so I was helping friends and family just one-on-one. I had like at least 12 to 15 people that I coached and they started investing, just friends and family members. And they started investing and many of them have actually quit their jobs because of that. From there, I realized one-on-one takes a lot of time, a lot of my time. Maybe there might be a better way to reach a lot of people and serve as many people as possible. So I wrote a book called How to Quit Your Job with Rental Properties. Pretty, you know, not a very creative name, but straightforward to the point. Then I created Master Passive Income, where I teach investing, basic articles over there. Oh, they're talking about how to do it. Have my podcast where I talk and literally teach. That's literally the whole show is all me teaching this because I realized I need to get this word out to everybody so everybody can do it. Then YouTube channel as well, just literally teaching people how to do this. From there, if somebody wants my own time, one-on-one coaching or join my group coaching, then they pay a fee to actually get my time, but literally I give everything else for free. But that's just because after having, and you're right, you're 100% right, Sam. So having money freedom, that was the first thing. Right. Then having time freedom or having those two legacies, money, enough money. Two, having enough time. Then three, my third legacy that I wanted to create was my relationships with my family and friends and everybody else. The fourth one now I'm blessed to be at now is service. My legacy I want to leave is how many people I can serve, showing them how to change their life. I literally have students who, actually, I'll give you one specific example. In 18 months and during COVID, he started investing during COVID, in 18 months has bought, I want to say 22 proper units. So 12 properties total, 22 units. He's making over $6,000 a month in passive income because I showed him and he is so happy that I showed him. He's so happy that I got him to get this place. And this is countless stories. So that's what I do now. I just have so much more time. I can work on that last legacy is being with my, just serving as many people as possible and loving every minute of every single day.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. And I was going to ask, my next question was, you know, I know you say that you don't work that much, but you're also working quite a bit in your own right, like putting out all these YouTube channels, putting out all this content. That stuff takes an incredible amount of time.
It sure does. But it does look like it. But at the same time, because I've been doing it so long, that since 2015 is when I really first started doing all this stuff, it compiles up to look like there's a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you right now, what I do is, so most people say, I'm going to block out an hour a day that's for me. I literally block out an hour a day that's for my businesses. And so as long as I'm working once a day for an hour, 2 hours, you want to do an interview like this or making a YouTube video, something like that, it does take time, but maybe 1 or 2 hours a day. Like yesterday, I literally went golfing all day. I play with my family. We go traveling. And so it does look like I'm working a lot. I'm trying to also show that I work a ton, but at the same time, I also make sure that and most of my time is given to my family and everything about me.
Right. Right. And it sounded like one of the keys that you used out of the gate was, and I think maybe you said this, you know, was hiring experts to build your business. So, you know, in the case of property management, you guys were buying single family homes somewhere in Ohio. And so you found a property management company to work alongside there, which they of course then have their Rolodex of people that they bring to the table to take care of everything else you need on that front. Is that right?
It is 100% right. And when I was first starting out, I had my full-time job. I had literally two other businesses and I was investing in real estate. So I want to say literally for like 15 years, I was burning the candle at both ends, like literally working 14 to 16 hours, wake up in the morning, 7 a.m. or sorry, get to my business at 7 a.m., wake up at 5, go to the gym, 7 a.m. at my business, then like 8 o'clock, go to my job. And then after my job at 5 o'clock, go back to my business till like 9 p.m. and then go home and do it all over again. It was a lot of work. So a lot of many, many years of extra hours put in. But now what I've done was I've realized how to leverage other people's time, abilities, expertise, all that sort of stuff. And so as I was building my business in the real estate, I realized that I'm not the expert in that area. And same thing, Zillow is not the expert in any area or any website that's like just, you know, database of anything. They're not the experts. Who are the experts? And I realized that from the very, very beginning. If I go to Zillow and it's telling me I could rent the house for, let's say $900, but I talk to my property manager who is literally there, who has a property a block away, saying, I can't rent it for 900. I can only rent it for 800. Like if I went my numbers off of 900 off of Zillow, I would be out of luck. And right. So if I have experts in the area that do the business right, that I hire, I vet, and I it's a lot of work finding the right property managers. My first property manager, because I didn't know what I was doing, literally was stealing from me. So I had to fire them right away. But if you find the right property managers, which I could literally, that's what I show my students. That's like the biggest thing we do, build the business first. Then from there, we buy the properties. We have a good business. We have the right employees, quote unquote employees, like contractors, like property managers and all them in the business. They're the experts. They are the boots on the ground that literally know what's going on. So I rely on them to make sure my business is running well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. What do you, when you look at the future, like what's the next big target for you?
So I'm blessed. We have plenty of money. So money's not anything that's like a target for me. I thought it would be. Like when I was quitting my job, that was my goal, to quit my job. And so after that, I said, I need a new goal. I said, well, I want to make $1 million a year in my real estate business. Well, we're somewhat near there, but it's not like a goal anymore because I realized I have no passion or desire to make $1 million. It'd be great, but it doesn't get me out of bed. What does now, like I said, those four different legacies that I'm trying to leave, money for myself and my family, time, so I have so much time to do whatever I want, relationships, so my family feels enriched by me, and then service. So now the next big goal, obviously I'll keep buying real estate. Anything I make online literally goes back into real estate because that's where I keep all my money and I could literally pass it down to my kids and they can pass it on their kids. But now biggest thing that I really want to do is help many people. Like my goal is 500 people, getting 500 people to invest in real estate, quit their job because they don't need a job anymore. That's my goal. So hopefully the next 2 years, I literally have like 200 people now. So I need about 300 more people that I could get in there. But that's the next big thing that I'm trying to get as many people investing in real estate so that they can be able to do whatever they want with their life.
Right. That's great. That's great. Man, this has been absolutely fantastic, Dustin. I've loved kind of your thought process. I love the kick in the pants, if you will, when you got let go from your job.
Oh yeah, it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Which that's still one of the, yeah, that's probably a rabbit trail, but yeah.
Remember, I worked for the government. nobody gets fired or laid off from the government. So if it happened to me, it could happen to anybody. So that's the thing we got. I had to realize, like, oh my goodness, it's not, and the saying's true, it's not if you lose your job, it's literally when. And so you need to prepare for that in advance.
Right. Yeah. And I can't imagine. I've never been through that. So I can't imagine, you know, what that would be like. I can't imagine that you'd want to do it more than once, though. So, you know, one sounds like enough. Before we jump into the final four questions, is there anything else that's, you know, top of mind that you would like to share with our listeners?
I want to say that when people start investing in real estate, from what I see, they don't try to build the business first. I've hammered that in. I really want everybody to realize build the business first. But then also, if you've ever seen or heard of the book called Profit First, I started doing this back in 2006 when I first started investing. And people might be saying, right now, the prices are really, really high and I shouldn't invest right now. Well, I bought in 2006 before the first crash. Like, that was one of the worst times to buy. And I still made money every single month, whether the market went up, down, or sideways, because I didn't care about appreciation. Now, of course, my values went down, but they're right back up and like double or triple what it was when I first bought it. Now I'm making passive income. And so here's the thing, build a business first, use profit first, where you're saying, I'm going to make sure that every single property that I buy is going to make me $250 or more. Remember, that's the minimum. I have some properties making me $800 a month in passive income, which is just fantastic. Right. So $250 a month. And if you do that, you're going to have so much more padding if there's anything that goes wrong, if there's any problems, but to be able to feed your family and feed yourself. So build the business first. Make sure you make that profit in there. So remember, it's really, really simple to do this. All you do is add up all your expenses, mortgage, taxes, insurance, property manager fees, all that sort of stuff. Add those up. That's your expenses. Then you make sure you can rent it for $250 more than your expenses. Then you buy that property. That's really what's going to make you. And like I said, if you have 20 properties at $250 a month, that's $60,000 a year. And that's the bare minimum. The properties I bought in 2006, they're literally double how much I used to rent it for now. So it's just, it's just a blessing. And I could literally pass this on to my kids.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dustin, well done. Certainly appreciate that. Final four questions are this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
Oh, wow. So $20,000 is a lot more than I would think. Some people ask me if you had $1,000. So normally, well, with $20,000, you could do a lot. So quickly, I'll say that the first thing I will do is network. The more people that I know, more people I told, remember the story about me getting laid off, I started telling everybody I'm an investor. Because of that, I had so many people wanting me to sell me properties. So many people want to give me money to invest for them. And so that's the first thing I would do. But with that $20,000, what I would literally do is I would buy a single family home, duplex or triplex in the Midwest, which are really, really good properties out there, start making passive income. That's what I would do. Well, first, like I said, build the business first, make sure you're hiring the right people. But I would literally take that money, buy a duplex, a triplex, something like that, that generates a good amount of passive income, and then literally roll that in, all that passive income into the next property and refinance as soon as I can, take that cash back out at that first property and then use that to buy the next property. I've done that so many times, but yeah, that's what I would do. Network, buy one property, roll that into the next one.
Right. That's great. I love that. Question number two is this. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
100% build the business first without a doubt. And I'll go with an example of getting a wrong property manager. Some people, like I said, what they try to teach you is you find a property, run the numbers, then eventually you get to the property manager. No, that's backwards. The property manager is your quarterback. They are going to be the ones that make you money or save you money. And so what happened to me was I hired the first person that said they're a property manager. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead and have you be the property manager. Started stealing from me because she started her own business and that was losing money. So she was making up receipts and all. It was horrible because I didn't build the business. I just picked somebody. When you're building a business, you're going to hire slow. You're going to find the right people. You're going to interview them multiple times. Same thing. This is a business. When you're investing in real estate, it's a business. What you want to do is find the right people, hire them slowly. If they're a problem, fire them fast. But what you want to do is build the business first.
Right. That's great. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Helping as many people as I can to literally never have to work a job, provide for themselves and their family by investing in real estate.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Question number four is this, Dustin. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have my own podcast, Master Passive Income. Just type in Master Passive Income. You will definitely find me. Also, if you don't mind, I have a free course that I can give everybody just to see if that's what they want to do. Do you mind if I give that to them?
Oh, please do. Share away.
Awesome. Awesome, Sam. So if you want, I have my real estate investing course. I will literally give it for you free, showing you how to find an area of the country to invest, buy the right property, build the business first, scale the business. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. It's all one word. /free course, or you can even text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777, rental to 33777. I will literally give that to you. See if it works for you. If it does, I have all my free content. Just get all that stuff, start investing.
Awesome. Dustin, no, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. We'll certainly also put that in the show notes as well, so folks can find that. So thank you again for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate being on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.